Well, so we're asking the question this morning, what is church? And I want to read to you from the New Testament. And it says this. It's after Peter had been preaching, a lot of people came to believe in Jesus. And it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, what is church? Is this church? Possibly. Well, what about this? Or maybe this? Or, I like this one, how about a church like that? Or maybe even like this? Or do we think, could this be a church? That's an old gasworks that has been turned into an amazing meeting place for a church. And you can see there the congregation. Or maybe, that was in Birmingham, by the way, or this one in Portsmouth is an old department store that now has a worship service happening in the department store. Or what about this? That's a huge marquee in the middle of a field. Is that a church? Well, there were about 7,500 or so, I think, worshipping in that venue. But they were also camping and being together. Was that church? Or is church something different? Is it not about buildings? Maybe it's about what we do in church. Maybe it's about the services. Maybe the robes, or lack of them. Or maybe about the songs we sing. Maybe communion or a choir. See, I don't think church really is any of those sorts of things. We give a label to these buildings where we meet, but church really is all about belonging to a family. And first and foremost, it's about belonging to the family of God. The Bible says that when we become Christians, we're born into the family of God. And in John's Gospel, when Jesus is talking to a guy called Nicodemus, Nicodemus comes up and says, how can I see the kingdom of God? What must I do to be included in that family of God? And Jesus responds, he says, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus thinks, oh, goodness me, how can I be reborn from my mother's womb? How does that happen? And Jesus said, no, you have to be born from above by God's Holy Spirit coming to live in you. And when that happens, we become part of God's family. See, becoming a Christian, really, first of all, God does something. Well, he's already done it through Jesus on the cross, giving his life for us so that we could be forgiven. But then when we ask, God comes to live in us by his Holy Spirit. So that's what God does for us. He comes to live in us. And then there's something that we do, which is we say sorry for all the things that we have done wrong. We repent. And we believe and accept what Jesus has done for us. That's what we do. And then the church recognizes that. And they recognize that by baptism and confirmation. And tonight in the confirmation service, we will say, we welcome you into the family or the fellowship of faith. We are children of the same Heavenly Father, and we welcome you. And of course, when we become Christians, God becomes our Father. And that's why we can pray, and we will do later, our Father. So church is about belonging to this amazing family. Secondly, well, the other thing is, we have brothers and sisters in the family. So just have a look around and look at your brothers and sisters. Give them a wave. And then secondly, it's about friendship. Jesus says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And first of all, belonging to the church, this family, is also about being friends with God. He invites us into that friendship. And when you're a friend with somebody, you're not so much concerned about the rules, you're more concerned about the relationship. You're more concerned not about disobedience, but disappointing. And God wants you, invites you to be his friend, but then for us to be friends with one another. So Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Then he said, love one another. That deep friendship that we have with one another. And he calls us to share together, share what we have, what we can do, to support each other, to be together, to learn from one another. But to do that humbly and with humility. And then the third one is that Jesus says really that church should be like home. Somebody said to me the other week that when they started coming to this church, it felt like coming home. And that's amazing. And we want everybody to feel welcome as part of this family and feel like they are at home. But there's much more to it than that. Jesus says that when we're Christians, that we're like living stones and we get put together to make a temple in which God lives by his Spirit. And God wants to make his home in us and with us. And when we come together in that sense of faith and unity and commitment to one another, then God lives with us by his Spirit. In fact, there's a passage in the Old Testament in the Psalms that says, where people dwell together in unity, there the Spirit of the Lord rests. And God wants to live each of us by his Spirit. But then lastly, the church is like a body. And we saw that a few minutes ago with the drama sketch. Just see if you can picture this in your mind. Imagine you are really, really hungry. You're desperate for food. You went all day yesterday without eating and you're starving hungry. And your mum or your husband or your wife or somebody puts on the table a roast dinner that smells absolutely delicious. And you go to the table and your hands say, oh, I'm not going to pick up a knife and fork. I'm going to play on this phone instead. So you think, okay, how am I going to eat then? I can't use my hands to eat because they won't behave. So what I'll do is I'll have to put my face in the food and see if I can eat it like that. All the gravy getting over your face. And just as you get your head near the plate, I was going to get you to do this today, but I thought better not. Well, either of you. Yeah. Just as you get your head near the plate, your mouth and your tongue and all that stuff decides it's going to sing. So you're trying to eat as you're singing. And then your brain decides that you're going to fall asleep. See, to eat, our body needs to work together, doesn't it? We need to have the same aim. So for those of you that drive, Just imagine how many things are going on all at the same time as you're driving. You're watching, hopefully, listening. We're often amazed that we'll see and hear blue lights and sirens, and we sort of try to make sure that we're out of the way, and other people are oblivious to the emergency services that are coming up behind. But hopefully we look, we listen, our hands are steering, maybe changing gear, but our feet are working the pedals and making sure we accelerate, decelerate and brake. And all those things are going on at the same time in order for us to get to where we need to be. And the church is called to be a body that works together so that we can see the kingdom of God come and people's lives being changed. It's Mother Teresa who said this: "You can do what I cannot do. I can do what you cannot do. But together we can do great things." And it was St. Paul writing in Ephesians, he says this: "It was his intent," that's God's intent, "that through the church the manifold wisdom should be made known to the rulers, authorities, and heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus." We're called to be the church, us, you and me, to be a family, to have deep personal friendships with God and with each other, to be the home in which God lives by his Holy Spirit, and to be the body that works together so that other people will know and discover who Jesus is. And I hope that our model of church, of being people together, will be just like that reading we heard right at the start. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Shall we pray? Father, we ask that we might be a church like that, where we're devoted to one another, and Lord, through that witness of love for one another, many more people would discover who you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The church is here because Jesus died for us on the cross. And we can be a part of God's family because he invites us to be friends, to be born again. Maybe you've never thought about what that all means. We run a course here, it's called Alpha. We've just done our first week, and the second week is by far the best week to join. So if you're interested in joining Alpha, there are some leaflets at the back. Steve, just give a wave. Steve is at the back. He'll be able to help you and answer questions about Alpha. We'd love you to come on it. But if you don't want to wait till Wednesday and you'd like to make that step of inviting Jesus into your life and being part of his family, then I'd love to make that possible this morning. And it's very simple. We just thank God for Jesus and what he's done. We say sorry for our sins and all the things that we've done wrong. And then we invite him to come and live in us by his Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you want to make it possible for you today to know that you're a member of God's family, if you say this prayer with 100% assurance, you will belong to God's family. So just echo these words in your heart if you'd like to. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for all the things I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, if there's anyone here that's prayed that prayer, I ask right now you would come by your Holy Spirit and pour your love into their hearts. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Assure them that they are a child of God and belong to your family. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer or you want to find out more, there's some booklets that will be at the back of church called Why Jesus. They have that prayer in there. I'd love you to take one or to chat with me afterwards. We'd love to help you in this journey of faith as you belong to this amazing family of God. Bless you. So to close with a blessing. May God, who gives patience and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity to live in harmony as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.